In this segment, we will begin a discussion of clinical decision support with a focus on historical perspectives. Looking back in time, we see that many of the early approaches to clinical decision support focused on the application of artificial intelligence and expert systems with the aim of improving medical diagnosis. Diagnostic decision support was a major focus of the field of biomedical informatics in its early days, the 1970s and 1980s. However, computer-aided diagnosis proved to be very difficult, and it became apparent that computers could be better used in a more focused way, aiming to reduce errors and improve quality. The early work did lay the intellectual groundwork for techniques that are used in modern clinical decision support, and shifted the focus to decision support more in therapeutic areas. With the availability of data in modern electronic health records, however, the older approaches may yet be useful in the future. Let's define some terms for this segment. Artificial intelligence, or AI, as it's sometimes called, is the area of computer science concerned with building computer programs that exhibit characteristics associated with human intelligence. This field has undergone many transitions over the years and really is not a major focus of computer science anymore, although many of its techniques have been accommodated into all sorts of computer applications. Expert systems were a type of computer program that were developed using AI techniques that actually attempted to mimic human expertise to be an expert. Decision support systems backed off from being the complete expert and attempted to play more of a supportive than independent role. Sometimes people break decision support down into areas of diagnostic decision support, focused on aiding in the diagnosis of patients, and therapeutic decision support, focused on aiding in treatment. Let's take a trip back in history. Many of the very early efforts in medical informatics arose out of simultaneous work that was going on attempting to quantify medical diagnosis. As mathematical techniques in computing were developed in the 1950s, it was felt that medicine could benefit from a more quantitative approach to diagnosis. Two early pioneers were Ledley and Lusted, who actually proposed a mathematical model for medical diagnosis. They modeled clinical findings using some mathematical techniques of which we will not actually go into detail, but are known as set theory and symbolic logic. This enabled diagnosis to be made using probabilities. Homer Warner from the University of Utah, another early pioneer in the field, developed a mathematical model for diagnosing congenital heart disease. Again, he developed a quantitative approach that used a contingency table with diagnoses in the rows and symptoms in the columns so that the symptom could predict the diagnosis with the highest conditional probability given a set of symptoms. Now, if you do not know all these mathematical terms, do not worry. But the point here is that there was a belief, a motivation, that medical diagnosis could be made using purely quantitative mathematical types of reasoning. This logical approach then gave rise to some of the very early applications in medical informatics, which was called diagnostic expert systems. There are a number of different approaches to clinical decision support that we are going to cover. The functions of the systems were tightly linked to these types of knowledge representation. One type of expert system approach was the clinical algorithm approach. Now, we've always used clinical algorithms in medical diagnosis, and will continue to do so. In essence, we follow a path through a flowchart. We gather data, and these are sometimes called flowcharts. We start with information nodes, and then, when we reach the point of needing to make a decision, we get a decision node, where we may choose yes or no, depending on the data that we have. So using clinical algorithms, some early informatics researchers built computer systems around them that would step through the algorithms and give advice. There are many benefits to clinical algorithms. The knowledge in the algorithms is very explicit. You follow the pathway through the algorithm that makes the knowledge easy to encode, but there are limitations to clinical algorithms. As anyone who has ever used them in clinical practice knows, you cannot really deviate from the path with the algorithm. You may have some prior results that are not part of the algorithm that you cannot take into account. There may be new etiologies or causes of disease, or new treatments that you cannot pursue because they are not part of the algorithm. So in essence, you cannot really generate a new algorithm. You can only follow the steps. Clinical algorithms are the forerunners of modern practice guidelines that we will discuss elsewhere. Another large line of work in expert systems focused on the application of Bayes' theorem, or the usage of Bayesian statistics, as we sometimes say. Again, the mathematics is complicated. We will not go into them in any detail, but in essence, the idea behind Bayes' theorem is that we can calculate a probability of something, such as a diagnosis of a disease, that is based on a prior probability of what our prior belief was, and then update it with new information that changes our probabilities. There are some important assumptions of Bayes' theorem that actually make it somewhat limiting in mathematical diagnosis. One is the conditional independence of findings, so that if there is no relationship between different findings for a given disease, which of course we know to be true in many clinical conditions, there are relationships between findings, as they are manifestations of the disease. Another assumption of Bayes' theorem is mutual exclusivity of conditions, so in essence, more than one disease does not occur. Despite the limitations, you can still use Bayes' theorem to give you probability information about particular medical tests or situations where you have good underlying probability information. We're not going to go into mathematics other than to show the formula. In essence, what Bayes' theorem says is, in a generalized form, the probability of disease I in the face of evidence E out of a set of possible J diseases is this formula that you see here. Translating that into English, the probability of a disease given one or more findings can be calculated from the prior probability of the disease, what our estimates or calculation was before we had our new information, and then the probability of these new findings occurring in the disease. This then gives us a new probability for the disease. Has anyone actually used Bayes' theorem successfully? There is a great deal of diagnostic test characteristic literature that uses Bayes' theorem. But has anyone actually implemented it into an expert system? Yes. There was the Leeds Abdominal Pain System, developed in England by de Dombal and colleagues. The Leeds system was used to diagnose acute abdominal pain. The system, at least on test cases, performed better than physicians, with an accuracy of 92%. Compared to clinicians having an accuracy of 65 to 80%. The Leeds system was better in 6 of 7 disease categories. When a patient presented to the emergency department with abdominal pain, the Leeds system was more accurate in terms of the ultimate diagnosis. What happens in the emergency department when someone comes in with acute abdominal pain of unknown etiology is that they go to the operating room, and the diagnosis is made during surgery. Even though the Leeds system was better at making this diagnosis, its overall role in the disease process was limited. However, because of this success, there were attempts to take the Leeds system and move it to other locations. It turned out this was very difficult. The system was difficult to use, as were all computer systems from the 1970s. That had command line interfaces and no graphic interfaces. The Bayesian probabilities were different in different locations, so the system did not achieve the same accuracy. Again, the limitations of Bayesian statistics are that the findings in a disease are usually not conditionally independent. Diseases themselves may not be mutually exclusive. But perhaps most important from a computational standpoint, when you start to have multiple findings that are important in a diagnosis and multiple diagnoses, you reach high computational complexity quickly. And for that reason, large-scale use of Bayesian statistics has not really occurred in any kind of diagnostic computer system. A third form of diagnostic expert system used what were called production rules. These are if-then rules, which are used quite extensively now in many therapeutic decision support applications. In the production rule approach, the system would combine evidence from different rules to arrive at a diagnosis. When expert systems used rules, they were called rule-based expert systems, and there were two types. There were backward-chaining systems, where the system would constantly pursue a goal and then ask questions to try to get to that goal state, or forward-chaining systems, where the system would follow a prescribed path, in essence similar to clinical algorithms' attempt to reach the answer. The generic rule was, if test X shows result Y, then conclude Z, where Z may be some sort of diagnosis, and oftentimes there would be a certainty factor. The first rule-based expert system in medicine was one called Meissen. Meissen was one of the first applications in medical informatics and spawned a great deal of research. Many researchers in the 1970s and 1980s were attempting to build rule-based expert systems. Meissen attempted to diagnose two infectious diseases, meningitis and bacteremia, the latter being infection of the blood. It used the backward-chaining approach, and it asked questions, sometimes seemingly relentless, in its attempt to reach a diagnosis. How did Meissen do? A paper published in the Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, in 1979, looked at 10 cases of meningitis that were assessed by physician experts in Meissen, and then the output was judged by other physician experts who were experts in meningitis. The recommendations of the experienced physicians were judged acceptable 43% to 63% of the time, compared with 65% of the time from Meissen. In no cases did Meissen fail to recommend an antibiotic that would cover the infection, even if it was not necessarily the optimal choice. Similar to the approaches previously described, we had a system here that, at least in the pure diagnostic task, outperformed humans. Why was Meissen not used everywhere? This gets to some of the limitations of rule-based expert systems. First of all, sometimes the depth for searching that the backward chaining uses can lead the system way off in the wrong direction. Of course, that's not something you would want to have happen for a clinician. Also, the rule bases were large and difficult to maintain. Meissen had 400 rules just for those two types of bacterial infections. Anytime one rule was changed, the system would have to be retested to make sure it still reached the same conclusions with test cases. The Meissen approach actually worked better in much more constrained domains, such as pulmonary function test interpretation.